And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning, I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. It has been a very hectic week, as you all know, up in Green Bay. We've got plenty on that today. Aaron Rodgers speaks again. Joe Philbin talking again, the interim head coach. Kevin King to the IR again. We'll get into all that. We'll also talk to Don Majkowski at 9 o'clock to get his sort of take on what the quarterback and coach relationship can be, should be, and was for the Magic Man, to get a check in with him, how he's doing. He's famously battled pain ever since he was playing. So we'll talk to him at 9 o'clock. I think it's also a good day, Chuck, to kind of catch up on everything else that's been going on. And there was a Bucks game last night. And if you're a Bucks fan, it's going to be hard to find things to be upset about. This was a game where DJ Wilson had half as many points as Giannis Antetokounmpo. This was a game that Eric Bledsoe took over for three quarters before not having to play in the fourth. This was a game where you came in, you saw that the Detroit Pistons were 13-8. They came into your home building and you beat them by 23. A good win against a good team yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bucks came out with a lot of energy. One thing they've done, though, when they've had a disappointing loss like they did on Saturday night, I feel like after a couple of days off or whatever, they come out and they're like a different team. Like, they'll suffer that loss and they'll bounce back and play a solid game and win. And that was the case last night. They had much more energy than Detroit. You know, the Pistons have been playing some good basketball, but they've lost now two in a row. I thought the Pistons looked flat as a pancake last night, and the Bucks showed a lot of energy. And, you know, they built that 11-point lead at halftime. And starting the third quarter, they pulled away. They went on a nice run to start the third quarter and built it up to 25, and that was that. And, yeah, solid win, especially with Golden State coming in tomorrow night, to get this one and get the back on the winning tracks.
I mean, it could have gone the other way. Chris Middleton did not play, was not with the team. We don't know too much about that. I think there's a lot of people speculating that this could be a result of what happened Saturday when he was benched. And I don't blame you for doing that. I think there's a lot of speculation. Wasn't John Wall held out last night, too? You know.
Well, anytime a player gets benched and then he's, quote-unquote, out the next day for personal reasons.
Right.
Yeah, I was at the game last night, and me and the rest of the Packer, or the Packer, so used to call it the Packer, the Bucks media mafia.
Yeah.
You know, speculating, oh, you know, you learn an hour before tip-off, personal reasons. Of course you're going to go down that road, but it doesn't seem like that's the case, that there's anything connected to what happened on Saturday night.
No, and we don't know all the details, but I think on this one, mm-hmm. I'd rather just kind of wait to see and make sure everything's okay before we start playing the trade game or the bench game.
Or the Middleton in the doghouse
thing. Sometimes things happen and the guy can't come into work. It happened at the Fan this week. So, you know, sometimes there's situations where you just can't come in.
Yeah.
And we'll find out what happened, but Chris Middleton not playing. So then the question was for the Bucks was, on a night where Middleton's not playing, on a night where Blake Griffin was ready to go, I mean, Blake Griffin, especially in those first quarters, was ready to put up some points. Giannis eventually defending him and defending him well. You had Eric Bledsoe step up. I think this for a while looked like it could have been an Eric Bledsoe game where he could have maybe flirted with 50, maybe more realistically flirted with 40, but he never played in that fourth quarter because he didn't need to. Eric Bledsoe finishes on the night with 26 minutes, 10 of 17 shooting, 2 of 6 from beyond the arc. He also had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and just 1 turnover, 27 points. Bledsoe has really stepped up. It's incredible to me how he went from my least favorite Buck to my most favorite Buck in the non-Giannis category, almost that quickly. I know he's in a contract year, and I know there's a new coach, and there's a lot of reasons why he's playing better. Good. That's what I want. I want Eric Bledsoe to play like the Eric Bledsoe that we thought we were getting when we made that trade last year with the Suns, and right now he's actually playing above that. There's a chance. That it's probably a slim chance, but I think there's a chance he could end up as an all-star. I mean, he's playing very well for the Bucks this year, and you saw it last night.
Yeah, I mean, All Star probably very, very slim. There's a few guys.
I think if the Bucks would have continued, because they started like 7-0.
Yeah, I mean the Bucks.
If they would have continued,
the Bucks
at that pace.
You know, with Giannis, we know is going to be an All Star.
Giannis, I mean, and then we're assuming Chris Middleton.
Giannis is on his way to cost to be $500.
Yes,
in our
he is.
MVP bet. So
yes, he is.
I mean, you win the. You
still
go,
the odds-on favorite.
First 2 months of the season, you win Player of the Month. Bodes well for Giannis. Doesn't bode well for my wallet. But who knows? Maybe. I mean, the Bucks, if they keep it up, and they're the second best team in the East. I think Toronto's on its way, but who knows? Maybe if they get two All-Stars, but I think Giannis for sure is in. But Bledsoe played good last night. He stepped up. A few guys did, and they won the game and they played well. And I was pleased, man. It was the way they came out and did not let the Pistons back in that game whatsoever. They went out there and the Detroit's a good team. Blake Griffin, and you mentioned the 31 points. That guy doesn't pass up too many shots. At the end, it looked like he was just trying to jack his way to 30, and he got it. But he got off to a great start, and then eventually, he didn't have as many looks. But he's a good player, and the Pistons are going to still be a player in the. Just because the Bucks routed them last night doesn't mean that they're not going to be a player in the Eastern Conference.
So I was at this game last night in the stands.
Yes,
and I was. I guess I was on the Jumbotron a couple times. I missed myself.
I saw myself. The tweet from somebody. I forgot
somebody,
where.
Yeah, people tweeted that
Stephen
they saw
Newsman,
me.
I think, might have saw it.
Stephen Newsman.
Yes,
was there.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, he was there as well.
Yeah.
He's always everywhere.
Man, too much.
But no, it was, it was these games where you go and it's a midweek game and your team is comfortably ahead. You're watching the game, but you're also chatting with people and maybe you're on a phone a little bit. But the last 8 minutes of this game, I was on my feet, man. I was having a blast. DJ Wilson's coming in there, putting up shots. Christian Wood dominating. At one point, the five guys in there were Jalen Morris, Dante DiVincenzo, Christian Wood, DJ Wilson, and then Delly had to be out there, too. That shows you where Delly ranks right now.
Yeah, he's the throw-in. Oh, let's get Delly some playing time. That was like it was like watching Wisconsin Herd. Last night, with some of those guys out there, hey, you can have more of those nights. That's fine. I mean, if it's a DJ Wilson night, you're either getting your ass kicked or you're way out in front.
It was more fun because they were way out in front.
Well, of course it was. Yeah.
And DJ puts up a three, and automatically he is very cocky about it.
Yeah.
And I stood up with the guy I was with, and he looked over to us, and we were like having a blast because DJ. He made another three then and got all cocky again. It was very cool to see him come in there as we were like ironically getting pumped for the Bucks' first round pick from a couple of years ago that has not seen time yet this season.
All I was looking forward to in the second half was the dance competition, which is like becoming one of my favorite in-game segments of the show. I mean,
there were some technical
game.
Problems with that.
It
last
was
night, yeah.
There was, but should I tell you what? I think they set this up because I think. They usually have two guys out there who are just absolutely horrible goofs dancing. And then they have one guy who hits it out of the ballpark. Do they almost intentionally do that? Because I feel like you have one guy who's dancing out there and it's like, God, the crowd, you can just tell, just wants to let him have it. But they don't. They're very kind. And the first two guys are bad, and then the last guy always hits it out of the ballpark.
Look, I tend to think that sports are pure and that there's no tomfoolery going on with the results of these, but if you want to try to convince me that the Bucks stage their dance competition,
I'm beginning to think.
I may go down that conspiracy road with you.
I feel like they have two guys who are just complete sloughs, and then they have one guy. But last night they had a Globetrotter in there, and I didn't think any of those guys were especially great last night, but usually it's one guy who just is, he's breakdancing all over the place, and the other two guys are trying to do it, and they're like, oh my God, just move on. So I think that's for the entertainment of the fans.
Yeah, it's in-game entertainment.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game. I'm still partial to, as far as the in-game entertainment, the blow-up bangos that run around and fall down.
Me too.
Me
too. I love it.
I won't leave my seat for that one.
No, I won't either. So, yeah, some of the in-game entertainment from the Bradley Center has crossed over to across the way there to Fiserv Forum. But, you know, Joe Brown, the guy who does the in-game, you know, the big guy.
Yeah.
He's a
Go
former,
Bucks!
Yes. He's a former intern here.
He is.
He's a former intern here.
He is.
And he worked on another radio station here after that. But when he was an intern here, because he asked me one day, he came in, he goes, you know what, I'm thinking about trying up for Hoop Troop. And I said, man, you got to do it. You're a perfect fit for that. You're perfect
Hoop
for that.
Hoop Troop.
Well, what do they call it?
The Rim Rockers?
No, not the Rim Rockers. You know, the people who run out and throw balls on. I think they were called the Hoop Troop.
Is before.
Aren't they called that now?
Yeah. No, I thought that I missed.
No, not a Rim Rocker. He'd bring the rim down, that's for sure.
Right, yeah,
no.
I thought.
No, and I said, man, you got to do that. And he goes, oh, I don't know. I said, man, your personality would be great. So he started off of that, and then he worked his way up to like an in-game thing, and he knocks it out of the ballpark too.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah.
Him and the girl that he does it with.
Yes.
I forget her name, but they both do a good job. Go Bucks! I ran into a former intern of the Fan last night too after the game. I don't know who he was. But I saw him in the concourse as we were leaving. He goes, Bart! And he ran up to me, gave me a hug.
Oh, he gave you a hug?
Yeah.
Oh.
And said, what do you think about that game?
Oh, he had a few in him last night?
And I said, yeah, it was awesome. DJ Wilson, 2 threes. He goes, ah! Come on! Hey. I worked for you guys out of college 8 years ago.
So you weren't here then. He didn't intern for us. I mean, he didn't intern for you.
No, I don't even know him.
Some of these guys who come up to you, they'll say, oh, Chuck, yeah. And you're like, all right, I sort of remember you. Because, like, the guys in the afternoon, when they intern there, I might see them when they interview, and then I may never see them ever again. But if they're on the big show or on the postgame show. So sometimes I hear you. And then it's like, oh, yeah, hi, how you doing? Where'd you end up working?
I work at a morgue.
I'm tending bar.
I took my radio degree, and now I work at a morgue.
Radio, you know, here's the deal. With our interns, some of these guys are graduating college, and I was telling one of our guys, Schmitz, last night, because he's looking for a job, and it's like, man, you know, in the broadcast business, especially the sportscasting business, when you graduate high school or graduate college, it's like, man, it's not like going to get an accountant job where they're just, you go to the newspaper or job sites, they're all over the place. These broadcasting jobs don't grow on trees.
Yeah, so then we hugged again, and then he left, and I went home. I saw a lot of people we work with. I saw our promotions guy, Will. Mm-hmm. I saw Chris in sales. I saw Christian, who used to work here. I saw him at the restaurant before the game.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people last night. It's good to see.
Yeah.
Good to see people out supporting their Bucks on a Wednesday night against the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, and this is a big sports weekend because you got Golden State in town tomorrow. Yeah, Marquette, Wisconsin on Saturday, and of course, the Packers in Atlanta. Not much to play for on the field, with the fact that you know the storylines with Philbin, the new coach, and what kind of added touches is he going to add to the team?
Yeah, we'll talk a little more about the weekend and how it was pretty much all basketball mode for everybody here until what happened in Green Bay happened. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Where tomorrow is a Friday fish fry, but today and every day throughout the month of December, you can get your steak on, if that's something that cool kids say. You can have your steak and eat it too right now at Perkins. Perkins, we had a bunch of this last week at our toy drive as Perkins brought out the food for us. Basically, they took a bunch of items on their menu and then said, how would this taste if there was steak in it? And you can find that out any time of the day. The steak medallions and eggs, the steak and tangler omelet, the steak and pepper skillet, the steak medallions and shrimp. For goodness, steak frames! Get the Perkins and try these amazing entrees for a limited time only. That's at Perkins. Also, throughout the month of December, make sure you get your pie on and get the holiday pies that are available at Perkins. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, also everywhere. On that radio.com app.
These guys, they all put a lot of time and effort in, and they all want to be there for each other and for other guys to step up when needed. It's always a good sign, and, you know, we talk about being prepared for your opportunities, and different guys, you know, either get bigger opportunities or get to play that haven't been playing, so it's good for them.
You know, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. You see the way this Bucks team is built? They've got Giannis Antetokounmpo. Obviously, we all know the Greek Freak and the more billboards that he's getting around town, which is good to see, of course.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits, know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you're paying him some $25 million. If you're going to retain Chris, that's going to be up in the 20s, maybe 30s. You've got Eric Bledsoe. If you retain him, that's going to be up there. You've got some of these guys like, Christian Wood, who's on a very limited contract. I mean, limited minutes, but maybe making 1.6. Thon Maker, not making a ton. Brooke Lopez, we'll start to talk about guys that are contributing more, $3.3 million. Even Sterling Brown and Pat Connaughton are making less than two. Maybe if you're trying to build a basketball team, that's the way to do it. Get those guys as the Bucks win last night over the Pistons, 115-92. Mike Budenholzer noting that a lot of guys contributed last night. But if you're going to build a team, go with the big contracts, then fill in with your Pat Connaughtons, with your Brooke Lopez's. The Bucks, the days of the 4 years, $40 million. I mean, John Henson's on a contract like that, and Tony Snell's on a contract like that, and Delly's on a contract like that. And for Detroit, John Lure is on a contract like that. It's like, it almost seems like basketball is shifting to pay your stars, get a bunch of fill-ins, Golden State style. We'll see them tomorrow night. And get away from these four-year, $45 million contracts for guys that, like, how much better is Tony Snell than Pat Connaughton? I mean, you can find these guys on the cheap each and every year. You don't have to pay guys $10 million per just to keep them for 15 minutes a night.
Well, look at the Brewers did. The Brewers went out and got Eric Kratz, and they're paying him bargain basement money compared to what a catcher with his type of production would give a team. They went out, got him for nothing, paid him nothing, obviously, and look what he did on a team that went to the Game 7 of the NLCS. So, you know, you need a couple of guys like that to outperform their contracts. And, I think the Bucks have a few of those guys, right? You can't pay everybody 4 years, $40 million like Tony Snell. And when you do, you hope it works out. Snell's been, let's face it, that has not worked out from day one.
No, and what did he do last night? I mean, he looked decent at times. He had 11 points, made a lot of free throws last night. But when you watch those guys out there, when you watch like Pat Connaughton and have as big of a role as he is having, and you got him for $1.6 million this year and $1.7 million next year, and then in the same time, you've got Tony Snell for $10 million this year and $11.3 next year, and I'm telling you, it's the final five that's going to stick with me for a long time. Mm-hmm. The Bucks bench scrub minutes went to DJ Wilson, Jalen Morris, Christian Wood, Dante DiVincenzo, the first-round pick, rookies. So rookies are out there and DJ. And then Matthew Dellavedova is running around there making $9.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the last five guys that you play in a game like this. It's a stark contrast of four guys that are not making a lot of money and have a role on this team, and then a guy that's making a lot more money but has the same role as those guys on this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, it shows you that the move to get him, Delly, a few years ago, under a different regime, was not the right move, was not the right fit, never did fit in here, never did really turn out to be the guy that we thought he was going to be. And the big piece that we thought was going to be for this team in the regular season and in the postseason. So it just hasn't worked out. And this is where he is right now. He shouldn't be a garbage player, garbage time player, but he is. But going forward, man, they have to, they got to identify these are our core guys. These are the guys who we're gonna build around Giannis, and then you have a couple of supplementary players. And I think right now the NBA is to a point where it's starting to even out a little bit. You know, you look at some of these teams, it isn't as top heavy as it once was, and especially in the Western Conference, where Golden State, still great, but still, you look at the Western Conference, man, look how many teams are just bunched up there, 1 through 8. And, yeah, in the East, you still have Toronto, and then Milwaukee's in second, but, I mean, I think you're seeing the level of play evening out a little bit.
Yeah, and I think between the two conferences, the East, isn't as bad as it was thought to be. You could still, if the playoffs ended today, you'd still have a couple teams sub 500 record get in, but there's at least teams like, you know, the Raptors and the Bucks and the Sixers and even the Pistons and the Pacers and the Celtics that are playing a little better even than you might think. There's more of them at least than maybe you thought. It's going to be an interesting couple of days. You got the Bucks hosting the Warriors tomorrow night. You've got the big one on Saturday, Marquette and Wisconsin. And, you know, Saturday, when both those teams were in action, or the Badgers play Friday. It's been a long week. Help me out with that. The Badgers played Iowa on Friday.
Yeah, they played Friday, and then they played Rutgers Monday.
Right, okay. And so that was a big road win in Iowa.
Very big, yeah. Iowa, though, was 0-2 in the Big Ten, but that was, you know, they were top 25.
So then that bumped Wisconsin up to 12, and then they beat Rutgers. And then Marquette, hosting Kansas State, they beat them over the weekend. So they're, you know, playing well as well. I believe they're 7-2, Badgers 8-1. And I think a lot of the attention, as of Saturday night, I'm talking, as of Saturday night, as you look ahead to the week, you think, all right, we're excited for the Bucks, couple of big home games, especially Friday night. And it's that Badger-Marquette game that is number one atop our minds in the state of Wisconsin. And then what happened with the Packers happened, and that kind of took everything and moved it to the back page. But now as we get later in the week here and we get closer to some of these games and we see the Bucks again, who had a long layoff. That was a weird long 4 days off. But the Bucks tomorrow night and then that Marquette Badger game on Saturday, it's going to be – downtown Milwaukee's going to be, as the kids say, Chuck, fitting to be lit.
On Saturday night?
All weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, starting with the Friday – late night Friday. Because it's an 8:30 start Friday night because national TV. But yeah, this is a big sports weekend, man. And then, you know, afterwards, you know, after that Marquette game, anybody who's heading up to Green Bay on Sunday. But yeah, I'm looking forward. Marquette's not starting at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Usually that's like a noon start. Noon or 1 o'clock tip off. That's not getting underway to 4, probably because of TV.
Nationally televised game on Fox.
Fox 1?
4 p.m.
Fox. Okay.
Ted Perry Fox.
Okay.
Homer Simpson Fox.
That's awesome. That's good. Yeah, they got that's probably because of the Big East. The Big East package with them.
Cookie Fox.
Cookie?
Cookie. Empire?
No, don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Empire, I watched the first 3 seasons, and then I lost track.
I have no idea what that is.
It's on Wednesdays. It was a good show, and then I kind of lost track.
I have no idea.
Of Empire.
Only thing I watch on Channel 6 is either sports or Fox 6 News.
You're not big into Last Man Standing?
No.
Rescue 911 or whatever it's called?
No, Last Man Standing? No, what is
that? Cosmos?
No. Cosmos, isn't that a soccer team?
It's also a soccer team.
Uh-huh.
Bob's Burgers. You like Bob's Burgers?
Never heard of it. Was that a place that, is that a show that discovers good burgers?
Cartoon.
Okay. No. No. None of that. No.
Lethal Weapon.
When you get up, you take an afternoon nap. When you get up, you know, say 3 or 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon or maybe, what's the first thing you turn on TV?
Oh, I don't watch a lot of TV in the day.
Not like late afternoon with all those shows?
No.
You know, like the Feinbaums and all that?
No, if I go home, I'll watch DVR. I'll watch what's on my DVR.
Oh, so you DVR stuff? My DVR sucks. It just, I need a new DVR box.
Why don't you get one?
I do. I just got to make a run and get it done. I just have it because mine just pauses, it skips, it just clogs up. And it's like, man, I don't want to have to unplug the thing, put it in my car, take it down to... I got to take it to Fond du Lac, actually, and trade it in. And, you know, I'd like to find a time where they could just come to my house to do this. And every time I wanted to do that, they was like, well, we could do it between 8 and noon. And it's like, who's around? I'm not going to take a day off of work so you can bring me a new box. So I've been trying to get this done for the last 3 years. And
do you watch those shows in the afternoon?
Yeah. I mean, I'll put it on.
I'll flip around. 4-hour show. And then every night we're watching sports.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend my afternoons watching Paul Feinbaum.
Oh, okay. Why not?
Because it's too much sports.
Oh, really? Oh, not with me.
Sports, I need a break. I need to watch like something else.
Do you?
Superstore or something?
Yeah.
Or
Yeah, no.
Daily show.
No. I mean, like, for me, it's like music. If I want to get away from it, it's probably music or something.
Yeah, I put music on and I do some work in the afternoon.
Yeah. Reading sports.
Reading sports.
So, no, I'll put those shows on. If anything, I mean, I'll put those shows on as background. You know, the TV on as background. Now, us talking about it, we're completely blowing off the Big Show in the afternoon. Not that we don't tune those guys in, okay? But, I mean, I just get up. I just put on the TV. It's just a habit.
There ain't one guy on the Big Show that's up right now listening to us, so.
No. And when you see all of us in public, those are the guys who look well-rested.
Yeah.
It's Bart and I who look like that, you know, we're just out of a morgue.
We have the tired eyes.
Yeah.
We're the ones with taking years off our life getting up this early.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but we're glad you're with us. That's the point. 799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins. So, good win for the Bucks last night. Plenty to look forward to this weekend. The Packer game takes an interesting wrinkle because while the playoffs are about a 0.0003% chance, it's a new head coach, and it's going to be fascinating to see if that, just the fact that there's no Mike McCarthy, makes a difference. We'll hear from that new interim head coach as well as QB1 coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No, I mean, it's never about one thing, you know. I mean, it's, again, I think it's important, as I said to the team, that, you know, we got to be professional, accountable, respectful, and punctual. Those are the four things we've got to do these next 4 weeks. And if we do all those things, we'll be in good shape. You're talking to a guy who's never tweeted in his life, doesn't even know what Twitter is. So, you know, again, it's not about a tweet or anything like that. I just think the fit right now isn't what it needs to be.
It's Joe Philbin, Packers interim head coach, giving his press conference, talking about the firing of Winston Moss, which did come after he tweeted that 12 and others need to be held to a Lombardi standard. He tweeted that on Tuesday, was fired on Tuesday night. But as Joe Philbin says, it was more than just the tweet that led to the firing. And that tweet may have been sort of Winston Moss saying, get me out of here. I ain't going to be around for this. So I'm going to send this tweet out, wait to get fired, and you guys go on your merry way.
Why you would do that is just totally stupid. Why would you want to get fired? Why would you want... Why would you want that on your head? I mean, you're looking for future employment, okay, down the road. Yeah, you might not be part of the Packers, but still, I mean, you a little bit of pride to finishing out the season. And if you're trying to get fired, well, what are you doing? I mean, come on. You think that's not going to stick with him for a little bit as he tries to go out there and people see that bizarre behavior like that? So don't ever try to do something like that. That's dumb.
Never try to get fired?
No.
I mean, he's probably got a job wherever McCarthy goes.
Why would you? I mean, I can't see how anybody would justify that. Why would you ever want to act that way? Unprofessional. And try to get fired. Or do something detrimental like that. I don't get it.
I'll play it from Winston's side. He can say, look, I made my concerns known. That was a toxic locker room. The quarterback was getting away with too much. Mm-hmm. Nobody was listening to me in our building. I want the Packers to be held to that Lombardi standard. It's what I showed up every day for. And people weren't on the same page with that. I sent out a tweet. Whether that was a mistake or not is something that I'll stand by as a coach and as a man. But my sentiments remain the same.
Okay, well,
they needed to stay by that Lombardi standard and they weren't doing it.
If he's going to do that. Okay, there's going to be consequences. I mean, you just don't – I think you don't do that. You keep that – either if it's not going to work internal, then you just keep that to yourself. You just can't go out there.
So you'd rather he just play out 4 weeks, hate his life.
Oh, I mean, hate his life. I mean, he's making a pretty good income.
He's still coaching making that income.
He's coaching in the NFL. All right, okay, but he's coaching in the NFL. You don't,
he's got a free month off getting paid.
You're justifying a guy getting fired, going out there and saying that and going out blazing like that? I don't know. I mean, if that's the way you feel about it, that's fine. I just don't think that's the right way to go. I don't think that's the right way to go. If you're looking to get fired, quit. If you don't want to be around, quit. Hey, you got that option. If you don't like it, then leave.
Chuck, people do this at work all the time. Sometimes you try to get fired rather than quitting because if you get fired, you can get like a severance and stuff. If you quit, you give all that up.
Okay. Have you tried that?
Yes, I've tried to get fired before. It didn't work, so I quit.
It didn't. What did you do to try to get fired?
I didn't do anything like that. It's not like I did something to try to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, well, I don't want to quit, so I'll just wait until they... You know, like when you're in a relationship, and you're like, well, I want this to end, but I don't want to be the one to break up with her, so I'll just be an ass, right, and then she'll break up with me, and then I won't have to do it. It happens.
All right, well, I mean, if people are going to take that route, I mean, that's not the way I'd do it. But if that's the way it's done, I don't know anybody who's done that, but if that's... I don't know. If you want to get fired... Especially in this the sports business, like he's in, you know, other guys might look at that who want to hire him. He might be I'm sure he's a good coach. Obviously, he's been around for a while, and he was a hell of a player in his time. And you know, he wanted to be a head coach. I don't know if those kind of flew out the window too, but I just don't think that was the way to go.
Let me equate it to. Let me take sports and then bring it over here into our life.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew that you were done on December 31st,
mm-hmm,
and it was because you and I just, it wasn't working.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you come in here every day and just be miserable? Or would you send out a tweet that says, someone needs to hold Bart to a higher standard, and then you get fired, and then you have 4 weeks of paid vacation, and then the next job you interview for, you can say, they say, why'd you put out that tweet, Chuck? And you would say, well, I mean, I could do 4 weeks of shows that would have been terrible, or I could have really took some time to prepare for my next job, and somebody, I couldn't work with that guy anymore.
You can't, I think with that next employer, you can't say, I tried to get fired, because then they'll say, okay, what if things don't work out here? We hire you here, and this is the way you're going to... That's a possibility. You could do that stuff here. What else are you going to do?
You always manipulate the job interview.
I just think that's just a character thing. I don't know. I just don't think it's the right way to go. Yeah. I don't.
All right. No, I...
But I mean, if you do it,
if
you do it, that's fine with you.
I'm just saying I see where he's coming from.
Okay, I just wouldn't...
Trying to put myself in his shoes.
That's just not the route I'd go. It's just not the route to go, but if you, I mean, you or anybody else, that's okay. I just wouldn't go that way.
Well, he gone. Either way, he won't be there on the sidelines. Joe Philbin talking, and he is taking over the head coaching duties after his previous job of doing what exactly? Joe Philbin was asked, are you going to call the plays? He said, yes. Well, when's the last time you did that, Joe?
It's been a while. Trying to think, it might have been in about 20 years, maybe.
Where was it?
I think it was at Northeastern, if I'm not mistaken.
I saw a tweet from one of the guys that listens to our show. His name is Jagged Little Phil on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He put this out. He says, to review, one, Joe Philbin hasn't called plays since back at old Northeastern University 20 years ago. Two, he wasn't really assigned to any position group in particular. And three, wasn't the in-game go-between of Rodgers and McCarthy, because apparently that's what the backup quarterbacks do. What exactly did Joe Philbin do all season before this?
For a guy who's been an offensive coordinator and hasn't called plays in 20 years, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? I mean, he was an offensive coordinator here. He was an offensive line coach between jobs with the Dolphins in here.
He was a head coach for three and
a
quarter
coach,
seasons.
Yep, head coach before that. I mean, he's got an offensive coordinator on his resume. Yeah, he hasn't done it since 1996. I don't know. I mean, if you're the offensive coordinator, shouldn't you be calling the plays? I just never understood that. Like, Mike Holmgren, the same thing. He had Sherm Lewis as offensive coordinator. What did Sherm do? What do you do if you're the offensive coordinator? Mike McCarthy or Mike Holmgren, in this case, was calling the plays.
There's at one point yesterday, Joe Philbin said that being a head coach now doesn't allow him to look ahead to some other teams. So sometimes there was weeks where he was planning on a different game than the one that they were about to play.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh yeah, I sat in with the meeting. Sat in with.
I guess if you're the offensive coordinator in the with the Packers last several years, that means you're just probably doing all the legwork for Mike McCarthy.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. So how will Philbin Rodgers be different than Rodgers McCarthy? Rodgers was asked if he would try to and want to see Joe Philbin as the coach permanently. We'll play that for you coming up, how he hemmed and hawed his way through that one without just saying no. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. All the latest from Green Bay. Mike Clemens doing a fantastic job, our embedded reporter up there in Green Bay, in Titletown. He has this report here on The Fan. We're back with more. 799-1250. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins.
Now a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
More roster moves for the Packers. Defensive back Kevin King will finish the season again on IR. King played by a hamstring injury. In two seasons, Kevin King will have appeared in only 15 games out of a possible 32. Backup running back Trey Carson also placed on IR after suffering a rib injury a few weeks ago. The team claimed Raiders defensive lineman Fadal Brown and former Badgers defensive back Natrell Jamerson from the Texans. Interim head coach Joe Philbin asked about his decision to fire longtime McCarthy assistant Winston Moss after Moss tweeted out that Aaron Rodgers and everyone else in the building needs to be held more accountable.
It's important, obviously, that everybody's on the same page, that we're all moving forward in the same direction. As you know, Winston's an excellent football coach. I've known him a long time. Respect him. He's an excellent, outstanding family man. So it wasn't an easy decision, but I just didn't feel like the fit right now is where it needs to be, and so came to that decision.
On Sunday, Joe Philbin, who's been an offensive coordinator and NFL head coach, will be the play caller for Aaron Rodgers when the Packers host the Falcons. Philbin asked, when's the last time he actually called plays during a regular season game?
It's been a while. Trying to think. Might have been in about 20 years, maybe. I think it was at Northeastern, if I'm not mistaken.
Aaron Rodgers asked if he's ready for a different voice in his radio helmet other than Mike McCarthy.
Well, I've been translating Pittsburgh for a long time, so I think I'll be able to figure out his East Coast dialect a little.
For more team coverage, go to 1057fmthefan.com.
Great to play great for him and give him an opportunity. You know, like I said, that's important. We all love Joe, especially those of us who have been here for a long time and know what he went through in 11. And then all of us were excited to have him back. Be nice to give him an opportunity.
It'd be nice to give Joe Philbin a shot. Won't necessarily commit to wanting to say that, and you don't expect him to. Aaron Rodgers being asked if he wants Joe Philbin to be the next head coach. Joe Philbin asked that again as well after being asked that on Monday and says, I'm just focused on the next four games, which you're not, I don't know what else you would say. That's pretty much the only thing you do say. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Aaron Rodgers also a lot of really trying to get it out there that, look, him and Mike McCarthy, they were tight. They ended meetings with a hug and an I love you, he said at one point. He does not want to make it seem like he is the reason Mike McCarthy got fired, even though there's partly a reason that that is true. I mean, if Rodgers plays better and if, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, Chuck. There's a lot about this relationship between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, and that's why we're going to talk to Don Majkowski at 9 to see what he thinks a QB-coach relationship should be like.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers could talk all day about the relationship between the two, and that was fine, it was good. Obviously, there was certainly a rift between the two, and Rodgers isn't going to come out there. It doesn't do him any good by kicking McCarthy when he's down and he's on his way out. Doesn't do him any good to do that. Okay, so that's I don't believe some of the stuff. I don't believe it's as bad maybe as, you know, maybe we all led it to believe, but I don't think it's as good as Rodgers made it out to be.
Rodgers was asked specifically about the Terry Bradshaw, and you heard that throughout the day on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Terry Bradshaw's like, well, good, I hope he got him fired on his birthday. Rodgers was asked, hey, Terry Bradshaw says you got your coach fired. Thoughts?
You know, I don't have a reaction to that. I don't need to respond to every pundit out there. You know, I don't know how many times I got to stand here and tell you, I don't feel like I need to convince anybody about Mike and I's relationship. It's a close-knit relationship. And we would finish every time that we talked, whether it's Monday afternoon up in his office or, you know, the Thursdays we used to spend in the team room or Friday upstairs or Saturday in the QB room, and we'd hug each other and tell each other we love each other. I mean,
no.
We had a close-knit bond. So you know, again, I don't need to respond to every person out there who's got an opinion. That just opens up a whole door of stuff that I don't want to be a part of.
You think after every meeting they hugged each other and said, I love you?
He's got to be a little facetious there, doesn't he? Play that little part of it if you can.
Whether it's Monday afternoon up in his office, or, you know, the Thursdays we used to spend in the team room, or Friday upstairs, or Saturday in the QB room, and we'd hug each other and tell each other we love each other.
Oh, hope Danica was okay with that. Oh, come on. I think
he could be a freak on the court and on the shits, you know what I'm saying?
I think Aaron's going a little, he's pulling our chain a little bit there. Good old Aaron. You know, that's some good old Aaron Rodgers humor right there.
Just like when Aaron Rodgers the other day said, my folks were in town.
Yeah.
And so everyone thinks, oh, his parents. What? His parents. And then, no, his parents weren't in town. He just said folks instead of friends.
Could have been.
And he was going to see if anybody asked him about it, which nobody did.
Yeah.
Because the TV cameras weren't there. It was just the beat guys.
I mean, Aaron's a smart guy, man. He's
very calculated.
He messes with us once in a while.
It's a close-knit relationship. And we would finish every time that we talked. Whether it's Monday afternoon up in his office, or, you know, the Thursdays we used to spend in the team room, or Friday upstairs, or Saturday in the QB room, and we'd hug each other and tell each other we love each other.
Can I propose that here on this show?
No.
At the end of every show,
yeah.
Rather than, you know, racing to beat the clock, I'll walk over by you,
mm-hmm.
give you a hug, say, I love you, Chuck. And then you'll say, I love you, Bart.
If only that was true.
Well, it ain't true for Mike and Aaron, well, and they still did it.
Yeah.
Why can't we do it?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot. There's morning shows. I remember one time I was working up at Eau Claire, and the two guys in the morning, I always thought they were friends, and they got along. And I was talking to one of the guys one time, and he said, you guys had a good show. He goes, yeah, I couldn't stand working with him. And I said, I saw you guys for 5 years. I never would have guessed it. Never would have guessed that those two guys never disliked each other. By the way, they were on the air or off the air. But they did tell me later years, I couldn't stand working with that guy. I hated him. Yeah, I couldn't. I'm glad he left for Minnesota. I'm like, wow.
What are you saying? I just told you I love you.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about these two guys at Eau Claire.
Okay. All right. Well, can we just end the show like that today and see how it feels?
No, we don't need to do that.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
I'll let Rhodes do it for me.
Real alpha males can admit their love for another man, Frames. 414-799-1250. More on Rodgers. And is it time to start throwing out the bust label to another guy that's been put on the IR for the second straight year for the Green Bay Packers? We'll have that coming up as well. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.